Well, as Doc said, this morning we're going to talk about the realities of heaven. We're going to read the whole 21st chapter of Revelation and the first five verses of Revelation 22, all of chapter 21, first five verses of 22. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates were 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, clear as glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th janctus, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. Pardon me. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord, God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp of sun, or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Father, I thank you for this description of New Jerusalem and of the kingdom of heaven. I thank you that your word always does what you send it out to do. I ask this morning, Holy Spirit, that you have your way in this congregation, that you open our hearts to receive this truth from the book of Revelation. I just ask that you bless the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. People have written songs about heaven and tried to imagine what it will be like. I've been thinking about it all week, and it's just really blessed me to just meditate on the kingdom of heaven. God says what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what has never entered the heart of man or man been able to imagine, what God has prepared for him that love him. So in all of our singing and description of heaven, even in John's description here, God says, he promises us that he said, it's never even entered into your mind what I've created for those that love me. What a promise. I've talked to different people. One of my fondest childhood memories, me and some friends camped out on Bryant Creek and spent the day walking from one point to another. And when I got to where we were going, I always ran barefoot. I was in a field of grass, maybe 4 inches tall. And I remember the feeling of that grass under my feet and the warmth of the sun and the gurgling of the water. And, you know, I was about 13 years old, but I remember the peaceful feeling that came over me. And when I think about heaven sometimes, that's what I think about. There won't be any briars or thorns there. And, you know, walking through grass barefoot. The Bible says there'll be no sun in heaven, no moon, because the glory of God will light it. Now that's something. God is such a God that his glory will light an entire planet. Now I know many of us have been taught that heaven's this way off in the galaxy somewhere, and I've even had preachers that I've discussed this with that disagree with me. But the Bible teaches that this earth that we're on right now will be destroyed by fire. It says the elements, the one translation says all the heavenly bodies. So the solar system that we know, that we can see, the universe that you and I can see will all be destroyed by fire. Peter says it will melt with a fervent heat. And that's pretty hot when you think about it. And then God says he'll create a new heaven and a new earth. Anytime I've talked to Jehovah's Witness and they say, do you know that we'll be on a recreated earth? I say, yeah, I agree with you. Satan puts truth in every lie to make it attractive. So God is going to recreate this earth. In fact, I don't believe in a rapture where the church gets pulled out and the tribulation happens. But I'll tell you what I do believe. That Jesus will pull his people off this earth before he destroys it. Just as he put Noah in the ark and sent the flood, this time he says, I'm going to send fire. And he will pull his church off of the earth and destroy it. Now, I remember as a kid when there were people around here that burnt their land off ever so many years. And, you know, after it was done burning, in the spring when it would come back, the grass was thicker. A lot of that underbrush was gone. It was beautiful. It looked like a park. And fire has always been used to purge. So I can imagine God purging the earth with his fire, actually melting it, but then recreating an earth. In fact, he says in Isaiah 66, the new heavens and the new earth that I create will remain before me forever. So it's going to be an indestructible place. I hear people talking about, you know, this world's going to end in a bang. One philosopher said it's going to end in a whimper. It's going to end when God ends it. And I've had people say, well, do you think that God will just unleash all the thermonuclear weapons we have? I don't think they're hot enough to do what the Bible says is going to happen. God doesn't need our thermonuclear weapons to accomplish his purpose, but could he? Well, sure. But that's speculation. I don't know. I want to note that the kingdom of heaven is going to be on earth. You remember John said, I saw the new city, the city New Jerusalem. It's amazing. This city is in a perfect cube, 12,000 stadia long, 12,000 stadia wide, 12,000 stadia tall. That is, in our measurements, that's 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles tall. Do you know in the world we live in today, if you go 15 miles up, you're in outer space. So God's recreating this planet, this atmosphere, this universe, to where you're going to be able to survive 1,500 miles in the air. There'll be oxygen, breathable oxygen. Are we going to be a bunch of spirits floating around? Well, no, I told you last week that in the judgment, he will raise these bodies, and for those, the righteous are going to be given glorified bodies like Jesus Christ. And the wicked will be given their bodies back with all the disease and distemper. I believe the heroin addict in hell will be a heroin addict for eternity. He or she will long for that shot. The drunkard will long for a drink of alcohol. The sexually immoral will burn in their lust forever and ever, unsatisfied. I believe that those of us in heaven will live in a body where there'll be no sin, no temptation. It will be a glorified body like Jesus Christ. The Bible says no pain, no sickness, no suffering, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, and God promises all the former things have passed away. Some like to think of the new earth as a place that God will recreate, and it will be what he intended for the earth to be in the first place. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that creation itself groans, waiting for God's children to be made manifest. Because they said creation has been subjected to corruption, and it puts up with it. Because creation understands that God is going to recreate, and there won't be any more corruption. There won't be any more pollution. The Bible says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Peter said that. There's a lot of speculation about this sign happening and that sign happening, and when this happens, then we'll know that our redemption is drawing near. Jesus told his men when they asked him, when are these things going to happen? He said, I don't know. Just be ready. That's what he said. He said, blessed is the servant that I find doing what they're supposed to be doing when I come back. He says something pretty amazing to me. He said, I will have him sit down at a table and I will serve him. Now that's hard for me to get a hold of. Jesus Christ said, I will serve. But he was here as a servant. But in the kingdom of heaven, he's going to serve. Something that the Lord says right at the beginning that really touches me. He says, the dwelling place of God will be with man. What the Greek says, God will tabernacle with man. God will tent with man. Now to you and I, that makes no sense. But if you understand, in Israel's nomadic time, when they were in the land of promise, but they didn't own it, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived in tents. And any time a son would marry, dad would add a room on to the tent for him and his daughter-in-law to live. And because this was a patriarch clan, you were under the protection of the patriarch. And they called it spreading your tent. And what it meant was the patriarch acknowledged that daughter-in-law, you're now my daughter, and you are under my protection. Any children you had, those are my children, and they're under my protection. So what God is saying in the Greek is when new heavens and new earth are formed and we're there, he said, I'm going to spread my tent over you. You're my family. And I promise for eternity that you're my sons and my daughters. I'm going to recognize you as my family. And you can call me your God. Wow. He's my God. He said, I'm going to write my name on your foreheads. Jesus said in Revelation, I'm going to give you a white stone with a new name on it, but nobody but you and me will know who it is. Imagine that in the kingdom of heaven. If Jesus calls your name, there's not going to be 50 people turning around. Because you and he will know the name that he's given to you. In an Israeli court, a white stone was given to you when you were found innocent. So there's significance there when Jesus said, I'm going to give you a white stone. If they found you guilty, they gave you a black stone. So Jesus said, in the kingdom of heaven, you'll be declared innocent. That's only done through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other name in heaven or on the earth given whereby we must be saved. John said, I saw a river of life flowing from the throne. Remember, we've talked about where God says, I am your living water. So the river of life will proceed from the throne of God. I had somebody ask me before, do you believe we'll eat in the kingdom of heaven? Yeah, I do. Because the word says the tree of life's on each side of the banks. And there's 12 manners of fruit. And we're going to eat the fruit. And it said the leaves are for the healing of the nations. That's kind of a hard concept to get a hold of. But according to the Bible, there will be nations on this new earth. And God talks about in Isaiah how every year they'll come to New Jerusalem. Just like the Jews used to come in and worship at Passover, at the Feast of Booths. I know these things I'm talking about seem a little strange. And I'm not trying to start a cult. I'm just telling you what the Word says. It will be a place where God promises that His knowledge will cover the earth like the sea. Think about this. I've been a Christian for 32 years. I've been reading this book for 32 years. And I've never got all of it out that I can. God continues to reveal Himself, His character, His purpose, His law through this book. For 32 years I've been reading it, and it's still new. Imagine an eternity in the presence of God, in the glory of God, and I believe with all my heart that that will be an eternity of God revealing Himself to us. And we'll never be able to exhaust that. God is so powerful. God is so all-knowing that for eternity in the kingdom of heaven, He will be able to reveal Himself to us. Glory to God, man. Think about that. I don't care if heaven's in the Sahara Desert. You know why I want to go to heaven? Because Jesus is there. Yeah. Because God the Father says, you'll be able to see my face. I can't look at his face now. He said, no man may see my face and live. But in the kingdom of heaven, God says, now you can look at me. That's why I want to go. I want to fall in behind Jesus Christ and I want to stay next to him forever. I want to sit at his feet and have him teach me. Because I believe that's going to go on in heaven. We in the church sometimes, we think we're getting pretty wise and we're getting things figured out. We don't have anything figured out. Only what God's allowed us to have. We will spend an eternity being taught. And I told you last week that the wicked would probably not accept a reprieve, even from hell. because they're so self-centered and egocentric, they wouldn't accept a reprieve. They wouldn't want to be in heaven anyway, because it's going to be a place of eternal worship. Why would people who on this earth refuse to come to church and refuse to worship the Lamb here, why would they want to spend an eternity in a place where they're going to worship Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Ghost? John said, I looked in heaven. He got a sneak preview in Revelation. He said, I looked and there was a multitude that no one could number, wearing white robes. One of the elders told him, those robes are the righteous act of the saints. Those robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's why they're here. No one will enter the kingdom of heaven through works. No one will enter the kingdom of heaven because of religion. You will enter the kingdom of heaven because you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's who's going to be there. And John said they were waving palm branches, and the church was shouting, salvation belongs to God. And John said when the church yelled like that, the angels fell on their faces, the church fell on their faces, everyone in the kingdom of heaven fell on their faces before the Lord and worshiped Him. That's going to be forever. So if you don't like coming to church, don't set your hopes on going to heaven. Because if you can't worship Him here, you're not going to get to go and worship Him there. It would bore you to tears. You see, as much as we sing and talk about heaven and God promises us it's going to be a place that you can't even imagine, it's still going to be about Him. It ain't going to be about you. People aren't going to come up and say, Jesus, I don't like them angels blowing them horns. I don't care much for this music. I think we shouldn't shout. That's not dignified. And there's people over there raising their hands. You need to do something about that. People like that ain't going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because it's all about Jesus. It ain't about you. The Bible says that we will spend an eternity adoring Him and worshiping Him. And I'm going to tell you what, I heard a preacher say this one time, and I believe it. He said, if you get to the kingdom of heaven, you're going to look around and be surprised that people are there you didn't think would be there. He said, then you're going to be surprised that there are people aren't there that you were sure would be there. He said, then you're going to be surprised that you're there. I agree with that. An eternity of worship. That's what thrills me about heaven. I don't believe it'll be boring. I don't think I'll get tired of it. I will see my Savior face to face for eternity. And I believe I will remember what He saved me from and where I'm at there. And I will praise Him for eternity. You set me free. I was in the pit. Death had His cords wrapped around me. Lord, I was going down for the count, and You delivered me. I'll be able to tell other people, Jesus delivered me from methamphetamine and from Jack Daniels and from all kinds of sin that's too terrible to talk about. There's the one that set me free. Amen. And I'll follow Him for eternity. I'll probably have a lot of questions, but I don't think He'll get irritated at that, because He's going to be revealing things to us. I think in heaven that you and I will be able to look back on our lives and we'll be able to understand why God allowed what He did to go on in our lives, and we'll thank Him for it. David Ring is a preacher with cerebral palsy, an amazing man, and I heard him preach in Kabul. And he said he was going through an airport one time, and this well-meaning Pentecostal brother came up and said, the Lord has sent me to lay hands on you and heal you. And Brother Ring said, I said, funny he not tell me about it. He said it made the guy mad. And David Ring's testimony was, if I didn't have this palsy, I wouldn't be in the ministry. He said, I was a spoiled brat. When growing up, I was my mom's baby, and everything I wanted, Mama tried to give to me. But his mom died when he was 12 years old. And he was mad at God, he said, for several years. But he had a sister praying for him. And he came to Christ one night at a gospel meeting, and the Lord called him to ministry. He said it only took him 5 years to get through 4 years of Bible college. And he said, I don't want healed until I stand in the presence of Jesus Christ. He said, then I'm not going to slobber anymore. I'm not going to shake. My speech will be perfect. Fanny Crosby was blinded by a well-meaning doctor as a baby. He had her parents put a mustard poultice on her eyes. And she was asked one time if she had any hard feelings towards that doctor, and she said no. She memorized the first 5 books of the Old Testament, could quote them. 5 books, not 5 chapters. She wrote hundreds of gospel hymns that we still sing in the church today. And Fanny Crosby said, when I see, the first one I want to see is Jesus. When I enter the kingdom of heaven and he opens these blind eyes, I want him to be the first person that I see. Heaven will be a place of eternal revelation where God will reveal himself to us. I think that's why it'll be such a place of joy. I can imagine God revealing something to us, and boy, we're just praising and worshiping. And oh, that's so cool. Because if you think that's cool, here, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Okay, now I'm going to tell you this. Forever and ever and ever. It'll be a place of glory where forever his people will be in his presence and they will worship him. Will there be animals in heaven? I don't know and I don't care. You know why I say that? I was in a church where these 2 women got into it. One said, my dogs are in heaven waiting for me. Another lady said, dogs don't have spirits. Heaven's a spiritual kingdom. They can't be in heaven. And them 2 got so mad they wouldn't speak to one another. Jesus is riding a horse when he comes back. So maybe there will be animals in heaven. Mark Lowry believes it. In fact, he says every chicken you ever ate will be waiting on you when you get there. Yeah. That ought to make the Baptist real nervous. Now, I used to be a Baptist. Don't get mad at me. I don't care if there's animals there and if there's not animals there. I'd like to think the river of life will be full of largemouth bass. But there's no guarantee of it. But as I said, I want to go there because God's there. For eternity, I will worship the one who set me free. Yes, that's why I want to go. Who's going to be there? I asked that question last week about the lake of fire. And the Bible's pretty explicit about who's going to be there. Well, I read you here, it says, whoever's name's in the book of life. And I want to add something to that. Who's going to be in the kingdom of heaven? The ones that Jesus confesses before the Father and the angels. A lot of people today claim they know Jesus. The question you need to ask yourself, does he know you? That's what's going to matter on the day of judgment. Jesus said, many will say to me on that day, not a few, many, but Lord, we preached in your name. We cast out demons. We did all these marvelous things. And he said, I'll look at them and say, I never knew you, and I don't know you. So who's going to be in heaven? The people that Jesus knows. Does he know you this morning? I'm not asking if you know him, because everybody in here would say, well, yeah, I know Jesus. I know about him. I've been following him for 32 years and I don't know him the way I want to. Does he know you? Would you stand with me? If you're here this morning and you've never called out on the name of the Lord, he promises that whoever calls on his name will be saved. Then I invite you to come up here and sit on this front row and we'll talk about that. Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home. We invite you to come join our membership. All we ask is, are you immersed in the waters of baptism? Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Christ? And we will welcome you into this membership. Won't you come as we sing the song of invitation?
down.